We're going to be starting a new series today, but the series is coming out of Romans. And you know, this is interesting. I was thinking about this. Do you realize that we started Romans in January of 2019? Man, we've been here for a long time. We're deep into the letter now, been there for a while. And along the way, we've interjected a couple of other sermon series. You know, we did the Love Lives Here thing and the mission and all that. And we pulled away, give you guys a little bit of a break, take a deep breath. And then we came back to Romans. Now we've been back in Romans for a few weeks. And today we're starting a new series beginning in Romans 15. And the title of the series is Coming Together. In chapter 15 of Romans, Paul focuses on unity, on bringing people together, and on learning to live together, on learning to love each other and advance the kingdom and bring glory to God through living out the gospel together, all of us together. And I'm really excited about the series, and I really believe to the bottom of my heart that this I think, obviously, God's word is inspired, inerrant, infallible, and it's always ordained by God. But I want you to think about something with me for just a moment. I started preaching this book in January of 2019, and we've taken some detours along the way. I don't have a rhyme or reason when things fall when they fall. It's just however the scriptures line up as I prepare. And here we are, and our nation is in a crisis right now. A crisis of disunity. And God ordained that at this time, we'd be preaching a sermon series on unity. I think that's a God thing. I believe God's all in this. And I'm excited about that. And you know, right now in our country, people are hurting. There are a lot of people that are really hurting. And there are people that are scared to death right now. And there are people that are angry right now about all of this. And some people are just confused about all the things that are going on in our country. And the primary cause of everything that is going on is racism. And I want to talk about that for a minute. And I want to share some things about that. You know, as we, you know, everything is on the news, everything is about racism. And as we go through the passages that we're going to be going through over the next few weeks, all of these passages speak to unity, and actually they speak to racism. And I want you to understand that. I've received, guys, I'm just telling you, I'm being honest. I've received, I don't know how many emails. I don't know how many texts. I don't know how many phone calls. People are calling and contacting saying, how am I supposed to feel about this? What am I supposed to do about all this? How am I supposed to respond to all this? What has Jesus got to say about all this? I mean, I'm getting overwhelmed, and I've been talking to my pastor friends, and everybody is getting this. Everybody, people are, this is really weighing on people's heart, what our country is going through right now. So I want you to hear my heart on this whole issue of racism, because it leads right into our sermon system. The first the statement that I want to make, just as clearly as I can make this statement, racism is a sin. Okay? It's a sin. Way back in the first part of Romans, when we started Romans, Romans chapter 2, verse 11, Paul made this statement. He says, for God shows no partiality. Now, I want you to think about that statement for a minute, because sometimes when we hear stuff like that, we think that Paul's talking about, well, the Jews lived by the law and the Gentiles were pagans. Well, there's a lot more going on here. And I haven't really brought it up all through Romans. And I guess with what's going on in our country right now, it made it more evident, more apparent. But have you ever stopped to think that in this church were Jews and Gentiles? Think about this. Just not so many years past in the background before this letter was written, the nation of Israel, the Jews, were literally owned. They were slaves to Gentiles. Do you realize that? They were enslaved to a Gentile nation. And now that's over and we've moved forward. And now this church is being formed in Rome. And so we have Jewish people who were former slaves. Their ancestors were slaves. And we have the people that, groups of people that literally owned them, the Gentiles. And they're in a church. So when Paul talks about unity in the church, he's just not talking about coming together on religious issues. I would imagine there was a lot of racial tension in that church. Wouldn't you think that? Those Jews had heard the stories about how the Egyptians treated them. They knew what happened in Egypt. And so there were some people that carried some hurt and some anguish and some heartache and some people that were still mad at the people because their ancestors were treated so badly. So in very real sense, those people in that Roman church were going through a lot of the stuff that we're seeing in our country today. And so when we talk about unity and when Paul talks about unity, he's talking about racial unity as well. He's talking about everybody getting together, not just on religious and spiritual issues, but in a sense of unity as all being people who are created in the image of Almighty God and all having equal worth before God. So racism in any form is sin. And we here at Heartland do not support in any form or fashion from any person for any reason racism. It's a sin. And because racism is a sin, just like other sins, we believe that embracing the gospel of Jesus Christ and living out the gospel is a solution for the problem. But just like with any sin, we can't just say that the gospel's the answer. It's not just enough to say, well, we just need to preach the gospel. Oh, we need to preach the gospel, but we don't need to just preach the gospel. We need to try to understand this and take some action to make things better. That's what we do with every other sin, and this is no different. So we preach the gospel and we take action. So we need to learn what we can do to help overcome the sin of racism and point people to Jesus Christ. And I want you to listen to what I'm about to tell you. Listen to this carefully. We have to do this. We have to be involved. We have to have a voice. Because if we do not, if the church is silent on this issue, then we allow organizations and movements that are not interested in biblical values or glorifying God to establish the narrative. Other organizations will step up and frame this in the way, and everybody will get on board and believe it. The church has got to speak. We've got to point people to Jesus. There's a big problem with allowing other organizations to define the narrative, because here it is. There is not a man-made solution to the problem our country's facing right now. There is no man. There's no government going to fix this. There's no people going to fix it, no movement going to fix it. The only solution to what we're all facing right now, guys, is Jesus Christ. He is the solution. And you and me, we have that message. We have the answer, right? We've got the answer. So we need to have conversations. We need to learn and see what we can do to take action. So what are we doing as a church? Some of you have asked me that. Well, here's what we're doing. Right now, and I didn't plan it this way, God planned it this way, we're going to start a whole series about this on unity right now. So take notes, be here, watch, pay attention, take it to heart, pray about it. Another thing we're doing is our pastors are having conversations with each other, and we're willing to talk to any one of you and listen about your perspective, about your concerns, about what you're scared about, what you're hurting about, what you're confused about, what you're angry about. We're willing to talk to you about those things. And I'm also talking to some of our community leaders right now, trying to get a handle on maybe how we can get involved in some way to be an answer and be part of the solution and not part of the problem. And we're going to continue to have conversations, and we're going to continue to learn. We need to hear what people have to say, but we also need to hear what Jesus has to say. And that's the most important thing, isn't it? What Jesus has got to say. You know, I was thinking about this last night as I was just sort of looking over my notes and all, and I got to thinking, you know, right before this pandemic thing came, right before our world was turned upside down by all of this, we introduced a new mission statement at Heartland. And we said, and listen, we didn't just introduce this saying. We didn't just rebrand things. Our staff, for a whole year almost, we met in meetings. We took full days to discuss this, and we all own this and we believe this and we want us at Heartland to be about this. We exist in this place, first and foremost, to love Jesus Christ with everything we've got. And then we exist to love each other, other believers. We exist, but we also exist to love our world. And you know who our world is? Our world consists of people who aren't like us. Our world consists of people who don't see things the way we see them. And we have a responsibility before God to love other people in the world. That's what God has called us to do. And so that's just not a statement. It's who we are as a church. And if love really lives here, if it's not just something we say, if it's not just a t-shirt that we wear, if love really, really lives here, then we cannot turn a blind eye to the sin that is causing so many people in our communities and our world to hurt. We can't do that. And with that being said, I'm excited about the new series because our new series is going to speak to this. Each sermon will have a little bit of something to say about all the things we're going through. And if we will internalize it and we will listen to what God has to say, I believe we can be part of the solution and not part of the problem. Are you ready? Yeah. Well, let's get on it. Let's jump in. Let's do what I like to do. Preach. All right, you ready? Here we go. All right, well, we're looking at this letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the Christian church in Rome. Now, we've been here for a while. We're deep, way deep into the letter, getting close to the end of Paul's letter. And it was a young church. And in the church, there were Jews and there were Gentiles. Two groups of people from completely different ethnic backgrounds. And in this part of the letter, Paul is talking to all those Christians in the Roman church about how they relate to each other as believers. And in the verses that we're looking at today, Paul is going to focus on living our lives in such a way that we promote unity in the church and in our community and in the world in which we live. Now, the title of the message today is simply this: How Can I Help? How can I help? What can you do? What can you do? What can you do? What can we all do to help? Well, we're going to look at some overarching principles today, and then next week we're going to look at something a little different. We're going to look at something the next week, and we're going to take bits and pieces of all this, and we're going to see that if we will apply this to our lives, we can be part of the solution and not part of the problem. And so the question is, what can I do? What can you do to promote unity, a spirit of unity in our community and in our church and among believers in Heartland and in the body of Christ? What can we all do? I want you to ask yourself that question right now. Simply, I just internally ask yourself, how can I help? How can I help? What can I do? Now I want you to listen to Paul's advice. Okay, we're going to be looking at Romans chapter 15, if you've got your Bibles, verses 1 through 3. And Paul writes this. He says, "We who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Verse 2, let each of us please his neighbor for his good to build him up. Verse 3, for Christ did not please himself, but it is written, or as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me." So how can we help? How can we promote unity? How can you and I promote unity in the church, in our community, among the body of Christ as believers, maybe at work, you know, as we're talking to people, wherever we are, how can we promote unity? Well, number one, we can promote unity by having a high regard for other people, by having a high regard for other people. Listen to verse 1, first part of that verse. We who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak. Now listen. The scriptures tell us that all of us, every single human being on the face of this planet, regardless of where they're from, regardless of their nationality, regardless of the color of their skin, every single human being on the face of this earth is created in the image of Almighty God. Okay, so listen, that means that you and me and all of us, all of our friends of different colors, all of us, if we're white, black, if we're brown, if we're Asian, Hispanic, whatever we are, we're all made in the image of God. And we're all image bearers of God. And so we should hold that other person in high regard. Even if they don't agree with us, even if they believe totally counterculture culturally to what we believe, if they stand opposed to everything that we believe, we don't have to approve of what they believe. We can be against the thing that they believe, but we have to scripturally love that person because they're an image bearer of Christ. And when you don't love that person, you're going against the design and purpose of Almighty God, and you're sinning against your Father. When you don't do that, we can't pick and choose. Well, I like that one. I like that one. I don't like that race, or I don't like. We can't do that. We have to love everyone because everyone's created in the image of God. Did you know something? I can't remember where it is in the Bible. Believe that. I'm the pastor, and I don't have the Bible memorized. Sorry, but anyway, but it's in Ephesians or Colossians. But it talks about the fact that when we come to know Jesus as our Lord and Savior, that we become a brand new race. There is no Jew, there is no Gentile. We either belong to Jesus or we don't belong to Jesus. And one day when you stand before God, the only thing he's gonna be interested in is whether you belong to Jesus or don't belong to Jesus. He's not gonna look at you and go, oh, you're a white guy. Oh, you're a black woman. Oh, you're Hispanic. He could give a rip. We're all created in his image. He's just gonna go, you know my son or you don't. That's where the axe is gonna drop. That's where the shoe's gonna drop. And so, you know, we need to have a high regard for others. That means a few things. That means that we, you remember in the church now, you had two different ethnic groups. Can you imagine how some of the Jews felt about some of the Gentiles? Their grandparents had told them stories about how they were treated and how they were enslaved and how they were in bondage and how all this stuff happened. And they probably carried some of those feelings with them. And there were these different ethnic groups and they're butting heads and there's a little bit of tension. There's a history between these people. But Paul knew this, that if the church of God was gonna grow, and if God was gonna be glorified, and people were gonna love each other and work together, they were gonna have to set stuff aside, and they were gonna have to focus on Jesus. And he knew that. Strong Christians should, especially when you have a relationship with Christ, you should be helping weaker Christians and working with people who are not mature in their faith. And every Christian should be willing to have conversations with people different than you about the stuff that's going on. And you should speak the truth in love and not harbor anger and hatred towards people. We can't do that. And that's what this is all about. In our country today, that's what's going on. I mean, they're just people. There's been a lot of systemic racism for years and years. And if you don't believe that, your head's in the sand. Because guys, that's the way it's been. It's not the same. And some people, and I know that it can be abused on both sides of the issue, but I'm just telling you right now, there's been a problem for a long time. And there's disunity in our country, there's disunity in the church, and that is what Paul is saying right here to the Jews and the Gentiles, and that's what he's saying to people here, to black people, white people, Asian people, Hispanic people. He's saying there is no room for this mess in the body of Christ. You guys get your act together and love each other and work together. We have a kingdom to advance because people are lost and going to hell, and you're the answer to help them get to heaven. That's what he's saying. And that's what matters. So we just finished this entire series about not arguing over disputable matters. We just finished that. And the idea is that we've got to help each other. Philippians 2, 3, and 4 says, do nothing. This is talking to you and to me. It says, here's, you're not supposed to do anything from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility. That means lowering yourself, being humble in humility. You're supposed to count other people. I don't care what color they are or where they come from or whatever. You're supposed to count other people more significant than yourself. I don't care if they're lost or if they're a Christian. You count them more significant than you count yourself. Let each of you look not only to your own interests, which we're really good at doing, but look to the interest of others. That's the biblical message. And if we're not doing that, we're not Christians. We might be some, you know, kind of faded out, weak version of a Christian, but we're not a Christian the way the Bible describes it. The point Paul is making is that if you and I are going to promote unity in our community and advance our mission, we have to have a high regard for other people. And the next thing he tells us is that we have to, and this is the tough one, we have to have a disregard for ourselves. Now, I'm just telling you right now, this is hard. We have to have a disregard for ourselves. Listen at verse 1b through 2. I'll just read 1 and 2. We who are strong have an obligation to bear the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good to build him up. Now, I'm telling you right now, this is the hard part of this passage right here. This flies in the face of the way we are naturally wired. It flies in the face of what the media tells us. It flies in the face of what marketing tells us. Everybody in the world tells me, except Jesus, tells us that it's all about us. It's all about us. It's about what we want, what we desire, how we feel. We're always right in the way we feel. And everybody else is stupid that doesn't see it the way that we see it. Paul says, you're messed up if that's the way you think. He says, the way we ought to be thinking is we ought to be elevating other people. You should have a disregard for yourself. You should humble yourself and get to whatever place you need to be so that you can speak with love into the lives of hurting people and people that need the message of Jesus Christ. It's God's design and desire for us to love our neighbor and, listen, to build our neighbor up. It's not just enough to say, well, I love a people. No, you need to build them up. That means you need to do whatever you need to do to try to engage in conversation and try to point that person to Jesus Christ. Do we have a responsibility and a job to do? It means that we promote our neighbors' good. It means that we reach out to people in our neighborhoods and around us and to people that are different than us. It means we get to know them, to be friends with them, to be willing to help them when they need it, to be inconvenienced if we need to be inconvenienced for the sake and circumstances of helping someone else. That's what Paul is saying. We need to disregard ourselves. The Bible says in Philippians 2:4, it says to let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also the interest of others. So Paul says to promote unity. That's our job. And next he provides a perfect example for us. And that brings us to the next point, and that is this. Paul says we need to follow the example of Jesus Christ. Let's just follow Jesus' example. Romans 15:3 says, for Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. Jesus Christ, guys, listen to me. I hope you know this, but Jesus Christ is God. Okay? He's not some picture of God or some secondary form of God. Jesus Christ is God in fullness. He is God who came to earth in the form of a man, God, Jesus. He came to earth and he lived a sinless life, a perfect life, died on a cross for the payment of your sins and for my sins. And while he lived on earth, he provided the perfect example of how you and me are supposed to live. And Paul says here, this is how Jesus lived. He did not live to please himself. He didn't live to please himself. I want you to listen to these verses in Philippians. I want you to think about Jesus for a minute. Now, God, Jesus is God, so God came to earth. God stepped out of heaven. Just think about that. God's in heaven in all his glory, and he steps out. And he comes down to earth, to this creation, and he comes in the form of a baby that's born in a manger, a person, a man, fully God because God stepped out of heaven, fully man because he was born of a virgin, born of Mary's, his mom, a human, and he comes to earth as a person. Now, God comes to earth. You know, we're so westernized in the way we think about things. If a king were to step into our presence, what would the king do? I mean, let's think about it for a minute. If the Queen of England, who's a queen, I don't know a king, but I've been watching some Netflix series, so I know about the queen. It's called The Crown. We've been watching some. Anyway, so I don't know if it's true, but I've been watching it. But if the Queen of England comes to the United States of America, oh, there's a lot of pomp and circumstance, isn't there? I mean, there's all kind of pomp and circumstance. Oh, they roll out the red carpets, the trumpets play, and everybody's, you know, doing that little thing, and all that stuff to this person. Because that's what you do when royalty comes around, whatever royalty is, right? You do that. But here's God himself who comes to earth, the creator of everything that exists, that comes to earth, and he comes in this manger, and he grows up as a carpenter, and he lives in a normal family, and he never brings attention to his deity. He never says, you know, build me a palace. He never says curtsy or bow to me. He never says any of those things. He comes in the form of a man. Listen to this passage in Philippians. Have this mind, okay, this is the way you ought to be thinking, okay? Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even the death on a cross. I don't know of a better example of how you and I should operate. We should put other people ahead of us. The creator of everything that existed came to this earth and he said, I'm not gonna come and pound on my chest and make people bow down to me. I'm gonna come and I'm gonna serve my creation. I'm gonna serve those that I created. And I'm gonna be obedient to my Father and I'm gonna serve to the point that I am gonna literally give my life so that they can have life. That's what we're supposed to be doing. We should emulate that. We should be willing to set our personal preferences, our prejudices, our opinions, our ideas aside and engage in relationship with people that don't see things the way we do so that we can have a conversation and we can point them to Jesus. That's what we do. And I'm gonna say things probably gonna upset some of you, but I'm gonna just tell you right now, it's hard. I'm just gonna be perfectly honest with you. I'm a white boy from Polk County and I grew up in Polk County as a white kid. And I don't understand some of the stuff that people of color feel. I do not understand. I've had conversations over the last few days with some people of color. And I'm gonna tell you some of the things that they told me. I don't understand what it's like to have to bring my children up and explain to my kids. Now this is truth. You can get mad about it if you want to, but this is true. I don't have to bring my kids up, and even if I'm a good family, a black family, I don't have to bring my kid up and explain to my teenager that when you're out with your friends, even if it's a great kid, don't drive through this neighborhood at night. You'll get in trouble. If you get pulled over by a police officer, this is exactly the way you act and exactly what you do, because if you don't, things aren't gonna go well. I don't have to explain that to my kids. And whether you like it or not, people of color have to do stuff like that. I've got a sister that's married to a black guy. And I'm gonna tell you, it's not easy. And you can say, well, I hate that, that's stupid, that's what, I don't care what you think. That's truth. And that's what our country's dealing with right now. And if you're white, you don't get it 100%. And if you're black, you don't get white people 100%. But what we need to do is we all need to rally around Jesus and start trying to understand each other, and we can advance and we can do away with all this disunity, and maybe our country will move forward and we can all come together and advance the kingdom instead of our own agendas. Amen. Jesus Christ gave his life for this. It's uncomfortable, I know, but it's true. When you get all this stuff right, you're gonna have a high regard for others and a disregard for yourself, and you're gonna love your neighbor, and you're gonna promote unity in the church and the body of Christ, and you will advance God's agenda. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not telling you to approve of anything that's wrong. I'm not telling you to approve of sin, to support any movement that there's sin involved in. I'm not telling you to do any of that. I'm just telling you that we have a responsibility before God to put our prejudice aside and do our dead level best to do something to make this better. And we've got to do that. And I believe we can do it. And I want to be part of the solution and not part of the problem, because I believe to the core of my being that love really does live here. And I want you to prove it to me, right? And if you're not willing to do that, then don't wear the t-shirt. Paul's got a lot to say about this, and we're going to keep talking about it over the next few weeks. I pray that you will pray about it, figure out how you can get involved. Help us as a church to be involved. Help us be responsive. Talk to us. Don't sit around scared. Don't be confused. Don't know what to do. If you need to talk to someone, you got a bunch of pastors here, come and talk to us. We're going to point you to Jesus, and I believe the gospel is the answer. Can I ask you a question and you respond back to me? Because I really need to hear this. I've been through some junk the last couple of weeks, and I want to hear this. Do you believe the gospel is the answer? Yes. All right. Let's go out and proclaim it. Father, thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you for all that you do. Thank you for the way you love us. God, thank you that you created us in your image. Thank you that you didn't create us, all of us alike. You created some of us with light skin, some with dark skin, some with in a different country and speaking a different language. You created us all differently. And yet, God, we are all created in your image. I don't know how all that works, but we're all created in your image, and you love all of us. You don't love any group better than you love another group. You don't love one person better than you love another person. But God, I know something. I know that your heart absolutely breaks when you see your creation and those people created in your image fussing and fighting instead of focusing on the gospel and advancing the kingdom. So Father, help us to focus on the gospel and help us to advance the kingdom. Father, one thing that we need to do right off the bat is, if we want to be part of the solution and not part of the problem, is we need a relationship with Jesus. The Bible tells us that if we confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, that we will be saved. Father, there's nothing about a prayer that's magic, but if there's somebody here today and they need a relationship with you, I pray that today they will pray and ask you to come into their lives. It's simple. Matter of fact, I'll pray right now. You can pray with me. Just say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. And God, I need you in my life, so please forgive me of my sins and cleanse me of them and make me part of your family. In Jesus' name, amen. And if you made that decision, please let us know. And let me pray one more prayer before we wrap up. Father, I know that the days that we're in right now are different and difficult for all of us. We just came out of this, or we're just coming out. We're still in this pandemic thing, and things are different. And God, now we have civil unrest, and we have this issue of racism that's at the core of all this. And we all have different opinions and ideas. And Lord, some people, like I said, are hurting. Some are angry. Some are confused. God, people are just scared. They don't know what to do. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit will get involved in this, and you will begin to change hearts in all of us. Help us to get this right. Help us to promote unity, and help us to get to a point that we can all lock arms and we don't have to worry about advancing our agenda or our movement, but we can advance the kingdom of God. Help us to do that. We love you, and we know you're capable of that, and so we ask that in Jesus' name. And we thank you, God, for teaching us and for loving us and for helping us.